This is AtmaPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, April 16th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. CDFA staffing cuts raise anxiety. Coexistence bill gets ag pushback. And Trump says UK deal may be on shaky ground. Budget hearings ahead. Concerns are mounting in the legislature over proposed CDFA staff reductions. Lawmakers warning the cuts could undermine pest detection and program oversight. At a recent Senate Budget Subcommittee hearing, analysts highlighted plans to eliminate 69 vacant positions at CDFA as a part of broader state savings. Of those, 35 positions drew objections from legislative budget reviewers who said they play key roles in invasive species prevention, animal health, and program auditing. CDFA officials pointed to ongoing hiring challenges, noting many positions have remained vacant due to low pay and hard-to-fill locations. At the same time, the department is facing growing demands tied to climate pressures, invasive species, and animal disease response. Taylor Trio of Conn, Soars, and Conway told lawmakers that having an appropriately staffed CDFA is essential for food safety, pest and disease, animal health, and ultimately national food security. Trio emphasized that many of the positions slated for elimination are in rural areas and serve specialized needs, making them difficult to fill but still critical. She also noted that some roles are funded through special funds rather than the general fund, meaning the state may see little actual savings from cutting them. She urged lawmakers to reject the proposal, warning that continued fee revenue from agriculture could go unused if positions remain unfilled. Senators signaled they are weighing whether the proposed savings justify the potential risk to agriculture biosecurity and program integrity as budget negotiations continue. A policy committee this week advanced SB 1135, a proposal to revive a program aimed at reducing human versus wildlife conflicts. Ag groups say key issues are still unsolved. SB 1135 would direct the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to run programs focused on non-lethal deterrence, incident response, and compensation for wolf-related livestock losses. Senator Catherine Blakespear of Encinitas said the program would help communities manage the increasing interactions with predators like wolves, bears, and mountain lions through proactive tools and outreach. Conservation groups supporting the bill argue that conflict reports rising and prevention is more effective than reacting after losses occur. California Farm Bureau and the California Cattlemen's Association are opposed unless amended, backing the concept, but warning the bill does not yet reflect on-the-ground realities. At the hearing, lawmakers from rural districts emphasize livestock losses, safety concerns, and the limits of non-lethal deterrence. Industry advocates also press for stronger guarantees that compensation for direct and indirect losses will not be reduced by funding set aside for deterrence. President Donald Trump offered a sober picture of U.S.-United Kingdom relations yesterday, suggested that the administration could revisit the terms of its tariff deal. In an interview with the UK Sky News yesterday, the president said the relationship, quote, has been better, adding, it's sad. How's the relationship? Well, it's the relationship where when we asked them for help, they were not there, Trump said, referring to UK's opposition to the US military action in Iran. And we gave them a good trade deal, better than I had to, which can always be changed, Trump added. Later in the day, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer presented a defiant tone when he addressed Parliament. It's not our war, he told them. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to yield. The U.S. and U.K. deal agreed to last May increased market access for U.S. beef and ethanol producers, which was celebrated at the time. In exchange, the U.K. received a 10% tariff rate on most exports. Earlier this week, Growth Energy's Emily Score told AgriPulse the deal holds promise for U.S. ethanol exports. "That's one of our top three trading partners," she said. "So I think that's a really good example of the positive market signals that can lift exports," she said. House Appropriations Ag Subcommittee taking its first crack at establishing USDA funding priorities for the next fiscal year at a hearing this morning. President Donald Trump wants to cut the department's budget by nearly $5 billion in fiscal 27. That's a 19% drop from the current fiscal year, but he's unlikely to get the full cut. Last year, lawmakers gave USDA $2.6 billion more than the president sought. Appropriations ultimately numbers driven, and based on last year's outcomes, Congress has not shown a strong inclination to fully adopt proposed reductions. That the word budget expert Nona McCoy, vice president at Tory Advisory Group, speaking with AgriPulse. Other budget hearings scheduled for today in the House will focus on the Department of Health and Human Services, Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, and the Army Corps of Engineers. Texas Democratic Representatives Joaquin Castro and Mark Veazey are projecting confidence ahead of the forthcoming review of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement that the pact will be extended. "We will have a successful review and continuation of USMCA, and then, most of all, this relationship will make this region the most economically prosperous region of the world," Castro said. The pair, speaking at the North Capital Meridian Diplomacy Forum in Washington, convening of business leaders and officials from the three nations. Part of the confidence, the pair said, comes from unintended impacts from President Trump's threats to break up the agreement. A, quote, silver lining of Trump's rhetoric, Castro said, is that the media has dug in and publicized the benefits of the deal. At a roundtable, business representatives from the three countries all agreed the deal should remain trilateral. They also lamented the backdrop of higher tariffs on non-covered products. Representatives in an agriculture-focused panel also discussed how to effectively convey the deal's benefits, including by tying it to a core aim of the Trump administration, that affordability. Well, here's today's final word. That would mean my tomato plant would win first place. That assembly member Cecilia Aguilar Curry of Winters saying she was happy to take her compost samples home after showcasing them for her composting field, reasoning they would boost her chances of winning AgriPulse Great Tomato Challenge. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, April 16th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Nally.